And does anybody else need a book to either borrow or to have? Anybody else need a book? Okay, Mr. Aponte wants one. Shane, can we grab a couple more of those transformed books back there? Transforming Truths. Amen. All right, Romans chapter 12 and verse number 1. Let's read that together. And let me get there. All right. Romans 12, here we go. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Amen. So that is the verse that we're talking about. The book is called Transforming Truths. Transforming Truths. And we're studying 13 different passages that can transform our lives if we would let it. Last week, we gave you the introduction here. On this one, this particular chapter says, total sacrifice equals total satisfaction. We talked about over in China, how the Chinese, if they find a good athlete, anybody else need a book? They find a good athlete, they'll take that athlete from the parent and they will put that athlete in a facility to train that child up. And that child will not see their parents for a significant amount of their years whilst the Chinese train them up. How many of y'all would like that kind of a society? Amen. Take your kids and then train them up. Amen. And you wouldn't become famous either because you would be insignificant. Amen. It would be all about the child, not about the parent, until they got older and wrote their book about their mom's sacrifice or their dad's sacrifice. Amen. So total sacrifice equals total satisfaction. Amen. And so looking at that, we're trying to figure out what this verse means, what it's all about. And many of us know it a little bit, but we're going to talk a little bit more about its significance in our lives and how to do it. And I told you basically these three things we're going to be looking at: what a living sacrifice means, why we do it, and then how we do it. So Roman numeral 1 was the meaning of being a living sacrifice. And that is on which page in your books? Page 6. All right, so there's a lot of verses there that we're going to be considering this morning. Page 6. All right, so the meaning of being a living sacrifice. That is your blank there. Now, let's put this up for discussion. What do you think of when you typically think of sacrifice? What comes to mind? Joshua? Giving up something you really love. Okay, good example. Yes, Gregory? Abraham and Isaac. What else? What comes to mind when you think of sacrifice? Ms. Dawson? Death. Amen. Alex? When the lamb is sacrificed or given up. Amen. Anything? What ideas that come to your mind? Sacrifice. Jerry? Christ died on the cross. Amen. What else? Sacrifice. Year of sacrifice. What else comes to mind? How about brothers and sisters have to sacrifice for each other? Sometimes they have to sacrifice time for each other, toys for each other. How about parents? Sometimes parents have to sacrifice their time for the child or their money for the child or to take them all the way on the north side to the sports game. Not to mention any names. Sacrifice gas money to go there and finances to go there. And basketball shoes and basketball apparel. And this starts getting expensive. That's a big sacrifice. No. So if you hit it big, buddy, we want some payback. So sacrifice. Sometimes it's a parent that sacrifices for a child. Sometimes it's a child that sacrifices for a brother or sister. Okay. In biblical times, of course, a sacrifice meant a dead animal or some type of a meat offering or a meal offering or something like that, or a drink offering. So sacrifice really comes in different styles. We can sacrifice time. We can sacrifice money. Parents can sacrifice a lot of things. My mom, she tickles me sometimes. You know, when we were little, she says that she gave up pretty much everything for us. She said, look, I stopped working. I did this. I did that. I stopped everything. I sold your clothes. I blah, blah, blah. And she goes on and on. And so now that she's older, she says, it's my time now. I sacrifice for y'all. It's my time. All right, well, what does that mean? And she said, it means exactly what it means. It's my time. Everybody's sacrificing for me. You give up for me now. And my wife and I, we went over to Europe, and we were there. My mother said, hey, look, she said, why don't I have any souvenirs from these places you're going to? Because I'd write, oh, Mom, we're in Greece. Oh, Mom, we're in Turkey. Oh, Mom, we're in London. Oh, Mom, we're here. And she says, and what do I have to show for that? A greeting card? She said, no, I want something from those places. And so from that point on, every place I went, guess what I had to do? I had to sacrifice and go out and buy something to send it home to Mom, because she said, look, I want something. And she said, I sacrificed for you, and so now I want you to sacrifice for me. Children, remember that when you get older. Your parents are sacrificing now to give you Wheaties and oatmeal and pancakes and stuff. So when you get older, what should you do for them? Pancakes and Wheaties. We may not have any teeth. We may not be able to eat them. So, and give us something that we can eat. Amen. Sacrifice. So the meaning of being a living sacrifice, when you think of a sacrifice, it can be anything from something that you give up that you like, or something that you give up as far as time. But when it was written to the first century Christians, what do you think they thought when they heard of sacrifice? What do you think they thought? What came to their mind? When Paul would write, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, present your bodies a living sacrifice. What do you think that went through their minds when they heard living sacrifice? Suicide? Well, that could be, amen. There could be a question there. What else might they have thought? Because they really only know what kind of sacrifice. Blood sacrifice, which is what kind of sacrifice? Killing an animal or something like that. Miss Dawson? Fear and running, amen. And so what came to their mind probably was dead sacrifices. Why would they think of dead sacrifices? Miss Jaffe? That's the custom of the day. The custom of the day is to go out, slit an animal's throat, put them up there, burn them up. That was the custom of the day. Whatever it is, put it on the fire, burn it up, amen. Put it on the fire, burn it up. I don't care what it is, put it on the fire, burn it up, amen. So when it came to them, that's probably the first thing that came to their mind. And then Paul here is saying a living sacrifice, and they're probably not thinking of the living part of this. And so I can understand they probably were a little confused, amen. So when you look at this, living sacrifices probably caught them by surprise, and they probably had some questions and was wondering what was Paul referring to when he said a living sacrifice. By the way, a sacrifice normally took the place of the person sacrificing. Does that make sense to you guys? Amen. So in other words, instead of you putting yourself on the fire, you put something else on the fire, be it an animal or a drink or whatever it was, and you were giving a representation to God. And so the dead took place of the living oftentimes. Now, were the animals that were sacrificed willing? Huh? You see all the little lambs going up there, bat, slit, blat, slit, blat, slit, blat, slit. And it's the lamb way down the line saying, hey, why don't I see anybody coming back here? Guess this is what we do. Blat, slit, blat, slit, getting closer. Look pretty red up there. I don't think they really had an idea as to what was going on. But by the way, do they sometimes know what's going on? How many of you ever had to try to take your dog to the vet? Dogs have a sixth sense about going to the vet. They know something's not right. The cage comes first, if you have to put them in a cage. And then you get out to the vet, and they kind of get that one step, and they kind of step back like, what do you think this is here? And you say, you can't read. You don't know. They have a sense of, this is not going to be fun for me. Then you walk in the door there, and they go in, then it gets worse. I mean, y'all may have had a bad experience like that where your dog just kind of just freaked out. Amen. It's not good. Well, your dog is mild and passive, Tasha. Amen. You got mild. When you get one of them young frisky dogs, they're like, look, this ain't happening. I'm still young. I can bolt. And they go. Oh, the treats. Amen. Amen. So they oftentimes were not willing, but they didn't really have a choice in the matter. As a living sacrifice, do we have a choice? Yeah, we do. We're alive. We're not dead. Now, if we were dead, we wouldn't have a choice. Amen. This water does not have a choice. It's getting drank. Now, if I went to go grab this cup of water and it jumped off of here and started running away, y'all would think something was strange. So would I. So I would run too. Amen. But it's not alive. And so when you look at A, we're going to look at A, the living part of this. The living. There's a great depth of meaning to being a living sacrifice. Let me read what it says here. In the Old Testament, God commanded the Hebrews to practice many types of sacrifices, and generally the sacrifices were dead animals. The shedding of the animal's blood was a foreshadowing of the sacrifice Jesus Christ would one day make on the cross. Now, with the many sacrifices, why do you think God chose multiple times to use blood sacrifices? Why did he use blood sacrifices? What's the significance of that?
Show that blood has to cover their sin.
To show a foreshadowing that Jesus Christ's blood would one day cleanse their sin. Also to show them that man sinned and somebody's blood must be shed. What are the wages of sin? Death. If one man sinned, guess who has to pay? The other, that goes way back to Adam, amen. But if a man sinned, a man's got to pay. Eye for an eye, tooth for tooth, blood for blood, amen. Arm for arm, tooth for tooth. And so blood was there. Now, the shedding of blood was going to foreshadow whose blood coming? Jesus Christ's blood, amen. Look at the verses you've got there, amen. Let's look those up, as a matter of fact. Leviticus 17 and verse 11. Leviticus 17 and verse 11. I want y'all to get lazy, so we use our Bibles here, amen. Say the verses are written down for us, amen, but let's look in the Bible anyway. Talking about the living first, because he's talking about living sacrifice, living. 17:11, and notice what he says here. The life of the flesh is where? In the blood. Do you know that you can't live without the life of your blood? If your blood, why do you think that when someone gets an artery cut or something like that, what do they first try to do? Stop the bleeding. Why do they want to stop the bleeding? So you don't bleed to death. You mean tell me I could actually bleed to death? Yes, because the life of the flesh is in the blood. No blood, no life. Amen. The life of the flesh, you cannot say, well, I can just have oxygen. Okay, well, let's just go out to the cemetery and dig up some corpses and give them oxygen. Put an oxygen mask on the dead body. And what's going to happen? Nothing.
It's going to happen, Pastor.
Pump some blood through that. Well, you can't pump any blood through that corpse. They're going to still be dead. Amen. But the life of the flesh is in the blood. And so they're trying to let you know here that the flesh needs blood and the sacrifice. Yes, Ms. Dawson. Amen. Amen. And if you don't have the blood flow, or if you have slow blood flow, how often will you feel with slow blood flow? That's true. But low, if I've got slow blood flow, how am I going to feel oftentimes? Tired and sleepy. Why? The oxygen flows through the blood. And the oxygen is not getting around to the different parts of the body that needs it. So you're going to feel tired. Daniel's our medic back there. He knows about that stuff.
We was talking the other night about how he can just go in there with his eyes closed pretty much and kind of hook people up to all this stuff. And it's like, hey, I did it. And he says, you got to think, did I do it right? I think I did it right. I'm pretty sure I did it right. Amen. But he just does it like clockwork. And so the blood flow is very, very necessary for the operation of the individual. So notice what he says here. The life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the what? Altar. That's the place where they sacrifice. To make an atonement for what? Your soul. So he says, I'm allowing you to put the blood of another animal on here for you. The connotation is, who should be there? We should be there. And he says, I'm allowing you to do this. He says, for it is the what? The blood that maketh an atonement for the soul. And so when you look at this, the living sacrifice here, they're picturing now a dead sacrifice. But now Paul is saying a living sacrifice. And so we're going to kind of work this out to kind of see the understanding they have here. Notice the next verse they use there is Hebrews 9:11. So let's go over to Hebrews 9:11. And by the way, that was one of the reasons why the stipulation was given to Israel not to eat things strangled with blood and things mixed with blood. He said, because the life of the flesh is in the blood. He says, so you're not going to eat any blood. Hebrews 9, and notice what he says here, dealing with Christ being our high priest. He said, but Christ being come and high priest of good things to come by a greater, more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by what? The blood of goats and calves, but by what? His own blood he entered in how many times? Once into the holy place, having what? Obtained eternal redemption for who? You and I. So all the sacrifices that they did back in the Old Testament foreshadowed and looked forward to Jesus Christ giving his life. Why? The goats and the bulls didn't sin. Who sinned? Man sinned. So who's got to redeem us? Another man. Jesus Christ came into the world. He was born of a virgin. The Holy Spirit birthed him into Mary and had a natural body. Remember, a couple of weeks we saw that the blood of Mary never mixed with the baby, because that's not what happens. And so now you've got a perfect man, but also a spiritual man to die for our sins. So a perfect sacrifice. And it looked forward to this time because the sprinkling of blood wasn't going to do it. Amen. Notice what it says, verse 13. For of the blood of bulls and of goats and of the ashes of an heifer, sprinkling the unclean, sanctified to the purifying of flesh, how much more shall the what? The blood of Christ, who through the eternal spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. Amen. Then drop down to verse 22. And almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and what? Without shedding of blood is no remission. So in other words, for the Jews to be right with God, they had to have a blood sacrifice. They had to have that to be right with God. And so the living is contrary to the dead. It was necessary. So then once Jesus Christ had sacrificed himself on the cross, he fulfilled the law of the Old Testament. So that was no longer necessary. That is why you and I don't go out and get our lambs and slit their throats and put them on the altar every time we sin. Children, you would be in debt if you had to do that. Amen, children? Y'all had to go out and get a lamb and sacrifice it every time? How many of y'all would be in debt? All of y'all. Amen? Huh? And a perfect lamb on top of that. Amen. Without blemish. You had to look at them all week. Amen. So you'd be pretty busy. And so Jesus Christ, he fulfilled the law. Amen. And so there was no more need to sacrifice the blood of animals. So we don't need a dead sacrifice. What do we need? A living sacrifice. Amen. Because the dead ones aren't necessary. What Christ asked us to do now is to give our lives to him in obedience as a living sacrifice. Why? The dead sacrifices aren't necessary anymore. Jesus Christ fulfilled that. So it's got to be a living sacrifice. Jesus said, I'm going to take care of dying so you don't have to die. But on the contrary, what do we have to do? Live. Amen. And so what a blessing it is that Jesus did that. Amen. Go over to Galatians chapter 2. And verse number 20. So Jesus Christ asks you and I to give our lives to him in obedience as living sacrifice, not as dead, because the dead is no longer necessary. Let me read what it says here. It says, when we live in obedience to Christ, we are identifying with his death and living in the power of his resurrection. We're choosing to deny our fleshly desires instead of embracing the desires Christ has for us. Galatians 2:20. Who's got that one? It's Pastor Bennett's favorite verse. Yes, Ms. Duffy? Okay, now, let's go through this piece by piece. I am crucified with Christ. What does that mean? Stretched out on the cross. Okay, can I get down on my own accord? No.
No.
I'm crucified with Christ. So I'm actually nailed like Christ was nailed, which means I'm dead to what? Self and sin. So I'm crucified with Christ. But then he says, but wait a minute. He says, nevertheless, I live. I'm alive. I am crucified with Christ. I'm identifying with Christ in his death. He says, but I'm alive. He says, yet not I, but who's living in me? Christ liveth in me. So the Holy Spirit at the point of salvation comes in. I'm crucified with Christ. The Holy Spirit comes in. I am alive, but it's not me. Why? I'm crucified. Self is crucified. He says, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh. Now, wait a minute. The flesh and self is crucified, but I still have a what? A flesh. And it's alive unto who? Unto God. Who is it dead to? Sin. Why? I'm crucified with Christ. He died for what? Sin. And so he says, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the what? Faith. That's why it's all about faith. Faith of the Son of God who loved me and did what? And gave himself for me. So because he gave himself for me on the altar of sacrifice, now I'm going to let him live through me. And that's what that verse is saying. Paul's saying, I'm crucified to what I want to do. He said, but I'm alive. He says, that's because the Spirit of God is in me. He said, the life that I'm living now, I'm living by faith, by the Word of God, to do what God wants me to do, and so that I won't do what I want to do because I'm crucified, because Jesus died for me. So it's a switch out. He gave himself for me. I'm going to give myself to him. Everybody got that? Amen. So the living here is contrary to the dead because Christ died for our sins. No longer is a dead sacrifice needed, but a living sacrifice is needed. And so he says now here, going down to the next one, be then the sacrifice. We've got the living. The dead took the place of the living, but then the sacrifice. Be is a sacrifice. To present your bodies a living sacrifice is an act of worship. How many knew that? It's an act of worship. Why is it an act of worship when I'm giving myself to the Lord? Amen. I'm honoring God, giving him myself, and so I'm being obedient. Amen. And that is worship. What does worship oftentimes involve? Sacrifice. Because you've got to focus on the one that you're worshiping. Think about it. If you worship your car, if you worship your house, if you worship your dress or your shoes or your abilities or your talents or your husband or your wife or your children or whatever it is that you worship, you've got to dedicate some attention and focus to that. And that becomes a sacrifice because while you're focusing on that, you can't focus on something else. Amen. Mothers are unique when it comes to that. Mothers can focus on a bunch of stuff. They can take care of the kids, take care of the dad, take care, you know, cooking. They've got all this, you know, stuff working like this. Dads can only focus on one thing. If it's the car, it's the car. Don't bother me. I'm washing the car. If it's cutting the grass, don't bother me. I'm cutting the grass or picking the weeds, picking the weeds. And I might miss one. Don't bother me. If I'm mopping the floor, don't bother me. I'm mopping the floor. I can't focus on a bunch of moms. Moms can stop that and pick back up and do all this stuff. And so it involves a sacrifice. So let's look at this, the sacrifice. This is what true worship is about. It says sacrificing something for someone or something. For example, they give you down here, when we praise the Lord, we're offering him a sacrifice of praise. So Hebrews 13, 15 is the verse. Let's look at that. Hebrews 13, 15. By the way, if we're praising God, can we praise somebody else at the same time? No. So it's sacrifice. You're giving praise to God and not to someone else. Hebrews 13 and verse number 15, I'm sorry. Notice what it says down there. By him, therefore, let us offer the what? Sacrifice of what? Of praise. To God continually, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. So praise can be a sacrifice. Why? Because if I'm praising God, I'm not praising someone else. Amen? That's just the way it goes. And so praise is a form of worship. And he says to present your body as a living sacrifice is an act of worship. And this is what true worship is about, sacrificing something for someone or something. Amen. And so the sacrifice of praise. By the way, not every sacrifice is an act of worship. Not every sacrifice is an act of worship. Amen. But all worship involves sacrifice. Just like we always say this, you can give without loving, but you can't love without giving. Y'all heard that before? Amen. Anybody can give, but you don't have to love to give. I can give. I give all the time to, you know, the Red Cross and to the veterans, but I don't love them. But wait a minute. I can't love without giving. Because I love my wife, I give to her. Because I love my children, I give to them. So you can't love without giving, but you can give without loving. Same way it is here. Not every sacrifice is an act of worship, but all worship involves sacrifice. And so he says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. By presenting our bodies to God as a living sacrifice, we are worshiping Christ. True worship of someone or something always includes some type of sacrifice to that person or thing. Amen. Read my note here. I've got it written down. Presenting our bodies as a living sacrifice is an act of worship. You know what we're saying? We present our bodies a living sacrifice. Lord, I'm yours. I'm yours. By the way, husbands and wives, when you got married, guess what you said? I'm yours. I'm yours. I'm yours and nobody else's. That's what you said. You said, look, I'm yours and I'm no one else's. And the spouse said the same thing. I'm yours and no one else's. That's an act of sacrifice. And so presenting our bodies as a living sacrifice is an act of worship. By sacrificing our lives to the Lord, we're showing him that we love him and we're putting our trust in his plans and purposes for our future. Think about what does Romans 12:2 say? Let's look at that again. Romans 12:2. We're putting ourselves in the Lord's hands and trusting him with our future. Romans 12:2. By the way, when is it best for us to give ourselves to the Lord as a sacrifice? All the time is true, but when is the best time? And I'll give you that, but I'll give you another question. When is it the best time to get saved? Right now. Right now. When you see yourself lost, is the time to get saved. The time for you to give yourself as a living sacrifice is right now. When you see that you should, then you do it. And that saves you time and headache and resources. Why? God knows what's best for your life. And he says, give it to me and let me navigate it. And what do we say? No, I want to navigate it. I don't want to go down that road. That road looks lonely. I only see Gary on that road. I like this road. I see a bunch of people on this road. How can we drive down this road, Lord? No, I want you on this road. I only see Gary on this road. It's got to be the wrong road. There's only one driver. Gary's waving back there. And the Lord says, no, I don't want you on the road. But Lord, a lot of people on this road. This must be the right road for me. But guess what? There's only one you, and there's only a perfect will of God for you. So if you don't listen to God, then you're going to go down the wrong road. He might have you on this road with Gary because you and Gary need to be on that road for a purpose and a plan. Notice what he says. And be not conformed, Romans 12:2, to this world. Don't allow this world to form you. But be ye what? Transformed, changed from the inside out by the renewing of your mind. So he says, your mind needs to be renewed that ye may what? Prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So Paul is saying, give yourself a living sacrifice. It doesn't have to be a dead sacrifice. That's already been taken care of. But be alive. Give yourself to the Lord. He wants you to prove what the perfect will of God is for your life. By the way, it's going to be different for your life than it is for mine. It's going to be different from this person to that person. It's going to be different from G2 and Joshua and Mariah and Josiah. It's going to be different from Allison and Alex. Why? They're totally different people. As they give themselves to the Lord as a living sacrifice, he begins to direct their path. But if they do it, if they're not crucified with Christ and they are alive, guess what they may do? Take over the navigation. And they may go down the wrong road. Amen. And that would be dangerous for them. Amen. So we see there, number one, the meaning of being a living sacrifice. Then A, the living as opposed to the dying. And then the sacrifice that's involved. And it is an act of worship. Then let's go to Roman number two. Why do we do it? The motivation of being a living sacrifice. The motivation. The motivation. What is our motivation? You know, you hear people say, oh, what's your motivation for why you do this? You know, they ask Kevin Durant, what's your motivation? He just won the MVP. He said, I want to be the best basketball player I can be. He said, that's my motivation. I want to be the best that I can be. And he says, I came along, and he said, I was always second best. He said, I was tired of being second best. I want to be the best. He said, I want to be the best basketball player that I can be, so I don't have to be second best. Guess what? The last 2 years, he's been the best. The motivation of being a living sacrifice. What is our motivation to being a living sacrifice? In understanding what anything is, it's often helpful to first look at what it is not. So A, what our motivation is not. What our motivation is not. A, what our motivation is not. And I give you the first one. It is not to gain approval. Not to gain approval. Look, turn over to Ephesians with me real quick. Ephesians chapter 1. If you don't surrender your life to the Lord as a living sacrifice, is he going to love you any less? No. He's not going to love you any less. Is he going to love you any more if you do? And Terrell's like, no. Let's put it in human forms. If your child doesn't obey you, are you going to love them any less? No, you're not going to love them any less. Are you going to love them any more if they do obey? No. You love them, period, whether they do or do not. Now, what's the benefit if they do? They're blessed by you. What's the discouragement if they don't? They're beat by you. So I can be blessed or I can be beat. The choice is mine. But the love factor is not going to change. G2 and Joshua will always be my sons, and I will always love them, whether they do good, whether they do bad. If they do good, they have more privileges. If they do bad, they get privileges taken away. And they get privileges that they don't like the woodshed. A free pass to the woodshed. Amen. Oh, we don't want that. Amen. Well, do right, and then you can get the blessings. We can go to QT and get you a Slurpee. So what is not? Ephesians 1:6. Notice this. Who's got that? Read verse 6 from him. Who's there? Go ahead, Brother Ponte. We're already accepted. So we don't have to try to please God and say, will you please, you know, accept me? No. It's a done deal. It's a done deal. When we were born again, that put us in the family. Notice what it says down there, verse number 4. According as he hath what? Chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having what? Predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, when he hath made us acceptable. So we don't have to make ourselves acceptable by being a living sacrifice. We don't have to be that. We already, but it's beneficial for us if we do. What do we want to know at the end of the day? What is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God? I want to know what the will of God is for me so that I can be right with God and get blessed. Amen. For the children, again, the perfect will for them is to obey their parents. Amen. If they obey the parents, it goes well. Why? The mother and the father knows more about what they need to do than they know, although they think they know more. Amen. The parents know more. They know where they're going, how they're getting there, and why they're doing this, that, and the other. And so if the child obeys, it's good for the child. If the child disobeys, it's bad for the child. Amen. And so what our motivation is not, it is not to be accepted in the beloved. Amen. As his children, we're already accepted in his sight. There's nothing we can do to make Christ love us any more than he does right now. And by the way, the contrary is true as well. There is nothing we can do to make him love us less. Think about the prodigal son. Did his father love him less when he went away and wasted his substance on riotous living? No. What was his father doing? And when he came home, what did he do? Beat him? Probably should have. No, he didn't beat him. He threw a party for him.
Yes, sir, he did.
He threw a party for him. Amen. Now, children don't get no ideas either. See, y'all, now, if we run away, we'll get a party. No, no, you probably won't get one. We're not prodigal parents. Amen. There's a difference there. Amen. It's a Bible story to illustrate a point. Amen. All right. Notice that in Romans 8. They've got the verses there. Who should separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come nor height nor depth nor any other creature should be able to separate us from the love of God, which is where? In Christ Jesus our Lord. And where are we at? We're in Christ. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. So our motivation is not obligation to be accepted and to be loved. Show you another thing is not. Our motivation is not because of obligation to pay a debt back. How many of y'all can pay God back for your salvation? Why can't we not pay him back? What does it take to get it? Your life. How many lives y'all got? If you give it up, how many you got left?
Zero.
So you can't pay it back. And on top of that, it required a what kind of life? A perfect, sinless life. So you cannot pay that back. And so it's not an obligation to be accepted, but it's also not a payback. You can't pay him back. Amen. Our motivation never asks us to pay him back in our debt. We can't pay it back. It costs a righteous life. He simply forgave us the debt. Luke 4, 7:47, notice down there. Luke 7 and verse 47. And Luke 7:47, this is the woman that's been forgiven of sins here in the presence of this other guy. Luke 7:47. And she anointed his head with oil and all these other things. And this guy didn't do anything for him. And notice what it says down here, verse 46. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, speaking to the other guy. But this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are what? Many are what? Forgiven. For she loved what? Much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth how much? Little. Does that got anything to do with God's love? No. Got everything to do with whose love? Our love.
Our love.
Our love. Amen. I'm going to leave you with this thought here. Why do some seem to serve God more than others? Now, I'll just leave you with that thought because we're going to talk a little bit more about it in depth next week. Why do some seem to serve God more than others? And the answer is not as easy as you may think. You say, well, according to this, they love little. That's not always correct. We'll discuss that next week. Our motivation to serve Christ comes from our relationship, of gratitude, not by religion or guilt. And so you and I, we serve because of our grateful heart and our relationship with our Lord. And so when it comes down to it, we want to present our bodies a living sacrifice because we're grateful for what Christ did. So it is not an obligation to be accepted. It's also not to pay back the cost of our sins, because we could never do that. But then the question remains is, why do some seem to serve more than others? And we'll consider that next week. Oh, no, we won't be able to consider that next week. Next week is Father's Day. What's next week?
Father's Day.
Men, we get spoiled. I pulled out my cartoons yesterday.
Go,
I pulled out my Three Stooges just to make sure they were still working.
Go,
and they wouldn't work on the TV that I wanted to work in. So I said, I'm going in there and confiscating that other TV. And Faye said, where are we going to go? I said, I don't care. It's Father's Day. Amen.
Yeah.
It's a spy day. I get a chance to watch the television here. She said, well, can we hook that up on the other one? You can do whatever you want to do. Just don't bother me with my cartoons.
That's good.
And G2 and Joshua said, I'm glad it's Father's Day. We get to watch too. I said, this is Father's Day. Y'all don't get to watch. No, I didn't say that. Amen. All right. So we'll leave you with that thought here, and then we'll pick up with B next week. And B is what our motivation is. What our motivation is. So go ahead and fill that in. What our motivation is. We'll pick up with that next week. What our motivation is. A was what our motivation is not. B, what our motivation is. And we'll talk about that. And consider that thought process as to why some seem to serve more than others. Leave you with a memory verse here. Galatians 2:20 is going to be the memory verse. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, in the life which I now live in the flesh. I live by the faith of the Son of God, which loved me and gave himself for me. And that's going to be Galatians 2:20. Galatians 2:20. And don't forget, next week there is only one service. It's not going to be the Sunday school. It's not going to be the evening service. It's just a 10:45 service. So don't forget that for next week. You come at the Sunday school hour, you will not be able to get in unless you call Pastor White and he comes from down the street. Amen. Okay, so everybody's got that. Amen. Galatians 2:20. And Roman numeral 1, again, was the meaning of being a living sacrifice. A, the living. B, the sacrifice. Roman numeral 2, the motivation of being a living sacrifice, or why we do it. A, what our motivation is not. B, what our motivation is. Okay, and we'll pick up with that on the next time. Galatians 2:20 is the memory verse. Amen. Father, we thank you for your goodness and your grace, Lord. Thank you that we can be living sacrifices, Lord. I'm so thankful that we don't have to be, but because of gratitude and grateful hearts, we want to be. Lord, we may not be the best living sacrifices. We may not do our all as a living sacrifice. But Lord, help us to be better sacrifices as we live and as we are crucified with Christ. Thank you for loving us. Thank you that our love is not conditioned upon how good of a sacrifice we are. Thank you that you love us without question in our good times and our bad times. And thank you, Lord, that we can leave here to be better sacrifices as the day goes forward. And, Lord, we can be an example and a testimony and a blessing to others. Bless now. Refreshments next door. Take us into our next moment. And thank you for our young people being with us today. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen. Thank you, young people, that you did not go to sleep.